Bukhi. Oke, bukhi. Well, okay. Okay, we are still early, huh? I think another few minutes to go before 8:10. Huh? Oh, 5 more minutes, yeah. So for those who just came in, you can read the outline short notes. The short note is very good. All these outline short notes, they are very good because a lot of the teaching, the Dhamma, unless you read the outline short note, you may not understand. Yeah. And if it's as a note form, easier for you to get the deeper meaning. Otherwise, if you listen, unless you have your cultivation developed or your past is very strong, otherwise you can't understand. Because very fast the word go by, and without printed words, your brain, your memory cannot understand. So a lot of things is not what people think. To comprehend Dhamma, you need to develop your own understanding. Then the three phases of Dhamma, the first two phases is very important. Then there is a famous Zen analogy too. Because last night, I accidentally bumped into another video, Hui Ning, Six Patria. So this one is a different one. So I click on it. But this one is more old-fashioned, slightly different from the other one that we saw. The other one is better. But this one got one very unique part. There was one session when the fifth patriarch asked them to meditate. So Shen Siu lead. So he sat there and meditate. Then that day, the weather was not so good. Very, very cold. Then raining. Then Hui Ming, you remember Hui Ming? The one that a lot of kung fu one. And I think the one of the senior students of Shen Siu. But his kung fu very good. So what happened was, he suddenly cannot take it. Then he called Shen Siu. Why must we sit meditate like that? He said, torturing ourselves and having all this problem. Isn't Master mentioned, is it? Meditation can be done in any posture, anywhere, anytime. You know what Shen Siu replied? He said that statement is for a real cultivator who has the past and the stable foundation. It's not for you and me. Then only they start to understand. That's why sometimes you cannot simply quote what the Zen master tell you. Yeah, he told you the truth. Meditation can be done in any posture, anywhere, anytime, any place. But do you have the understanding? Do you have the stability of understanding from your past cultivation? So Shen Siu knew. He said, that statement only holds for real cultivator, is it, who have their parami from the past and who already know how to meditate. That's why they can be in all posture, in sati and all those things. Then only Hui Ming got no choice. Sit. But the message is actually not supposed to be that way. Even if you don't have the parami, you shouldn't be just sitting without understanding. When you just sit without understanding, you're wasting your time actually. You're torturing yourself for nothing. So what Hui Ming said got its meaning. But what Shen Siu reply also has its meaning. So what do you want to do? Both also right. You have to combine both there. Before you have the past, before you understand, you need to develop the understanding first. So you need to train. So training means what? You have to develop the stability of sati, the daily mindfulness. And that is what you have to do. That's why I always say, you need to walk, you walk. You need to bow, you bow. You need to sit, you sit. Until the sati come. When you sit, like your object of meditation, if it's anapanasati, what must you do? You must train until the piti sukha come. Then later on, you relax into it until the pasati, means tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. And that is what Hui Ning's teaching is all about. You have to realize that true mind, that true nature. So, Fifth Patriarch also taught Hui Ning the same thing. Unless you can realize your true nature, you can never understand the true meditation. Yeah. Because all Dhamma arise from there. So that part is very, very important. Okay, what's the time now? I think we can start. Oh, 8:10. Just correct. Okay. So I will nominate 2. Kayanamita, to light the candle and the incense. Jinhao, yeah. Joseph, yeah. 2 of them. Good choice. Then the rest of us can stand. Tonight we can go through the outline short note. It's very good. Wow, very fast. Going to be Chinese New Year soon. Tonight already 24th January 2019, Thursday class. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. Then let us get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will start chanting from the Vandana onwards. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramane sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramane sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramane sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramane sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana veramane sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa dithena dithena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina. Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin. Pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokhang. Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang. Adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang. Adivasayetu no bante ปาลิปาริกาพิทังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปาริกาพิทังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตมังAgain, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water.May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One.Who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration, by the power of all these merits born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Tripa Jap. Badang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay.You can be seated, yeah? Just relax yourself, huh? Body and mind completely relax, and we'll have half an hour of silent meditation, huh? Okay, we'll off the light, and for those who already know how to meditate, you just proceed, huh? As I've always explained, the main purpose and intent of meditation is to realizeyour true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind. Unless you connect to your true mind, your true nature, it is not easy for you to understand the Dhamma. Then this stability of mindfulness is very important. That's the reason why when you come for formal meditation training, you are hereto just train your mind to be aware. You can do it in two ways. One way is develop the spiritual faculty. This one you have to cultivate while you are at home, when you are going through the Dhamma teaching, when you have the condition to slowly read through or listen to the Dhamma. Then you can reflect, contemplate, and inquire orinquire into all this teaching. All of the essential Dhamma, all of the important teaching that the Buddha has proclaimed. Through this, you can develop the first and second turning wisdom. That's how you stabilize your meditative ability to go for the third turning. It will prepare you to have the base to receive truth. So the third turning is, of course, meditation. Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of Bhavana, which is the meditative training. So you already have the spiritual faculty developed, your sati already stable. So you can just silence your mind and sit. You can do it in any posture. But you need a stable posture to stabilize your silent mind, your awareness, your sati. So whatever object of meditation you use, you don't have to worry. You just maintain awareness, silent. The four support, relax body and mind, then maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then the last one is, of course, trust. You can do that, your mind will settle down. It will stabilize. And you're supposed to realize this silent mind, the true mind, until it is very clear and very stable. Initially, don't try to know. Just relax, silent away. When you can develop the ability to be with that true nature for as long as you can, then you will understand what that thing is. Then you will see how your mundane mind come in. Then how they actually arise and cloud that nature, the awareness nature. Then you start to see clearly the two minds interacting. When you are silent without thought, when your spiritual faculty are there, that true mind will naturally be there. In fact, it's all the time there. But because you don't have the understanding, most of the time, your mundane mind think a lot. Your spiritual faculties are not developed. That's why the mental hindrance is there. And this is the one that stir your mind. It will give rise to the mental hindrance of sensual desire, ill will. Then at times make you sleepy, doze off, sloth and torpor. Then the agitated mind, restlessness of mind, because you have problem. You have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety, you have unresolved problem. There is this phobia, insecurity, all this. They are within your psyche, which you do not have the ability to see them or understand them. That's why you can't root them out. You accumulated them through your heedless living, through your delusion, ignorance. So all this become part of your mental conditioning. And this is how your mind cannot free. And a lot of cultivators, they don't have the clarity of mind, the mindfulness to see all this. That's why they are caught in this delusion. And when they are caught in this delusion without knowing, they cannot free. Because they keep on reverting back to the thought to do the meditation. The more thought you introduce into your meditation, the more heedless you become. Then most people got no choice. They have to try various type of method and technique. They focus their mind. They concentrate. Otherwise the mind will wander off. That is not the correct way to train. To train the mind, you have to understand the original state of mind before the stirring, before the thinking. They are already the stillness, the silent. The silent mind itself is the meditative mind. Why can't you just let things be silent, everything, and relax? Whatever thought arises, let it arise. Then it will slow down, and finally it becomes very quiet, very still. Realize that. Then when it starts to happen, your form and mind will know how that activity of mind slow down and how it reach a point where it suddenly stop. We call it the stillness, the tranquility. When there is no more mental activity, no more movement. But that state is not easy to experience unless you have the stability of sati. Then when it arrives, it is still not stable. And most people don't understand what this thing is. That's why they cannot do it. But now that you have the understanding, you just stay with the silent mind for as long as you can. Whatever arises at the sense basis, let it be, no need to know. Then if that silent mind stabilizes, it will understand a lot of things on its own. It will awaken on its own. It will insight into phenomena on its own. It will start to develop the direct seeing, the awakening. But before this happened, before the stability of mindfulness happened, before the mind enters sati and become very stable, if you try to use your Dhamma knowledge to relate to what happened and think that you know, you understand, you can even describe the paticca-samuppada, dependent origination, but that is knowledge, that is not the real one. The real one is when your silent mind is so stable, you saw it arising and passing away. The moment of its arising, sustaining and passing away without words. That is the stability that you need. So for those who already know how to meditate, you just continue, relax, silent and stabilize that. And use that to understand things. Don't try to know. Just let it be. Until that stillness becomes very still, very quiet. This is a free mind. This is not a conditioned mind. You don't concentrate. You don't focus. You don't even develop continuous mindfulness to be in the absorbed state of mind. You can try to experience it, of course, but ultimately you have to release it out. Yeah, until it is a free mind. That free mind on its own doesn't think. That is the real samadhi. That is the real meditative mind. So this part are for those who already have the stability of mindfulness, know how to meditate. Tonight is a special briefing for them so that they can go deep into the meditation. Whereas for those who still need to train their mind, you do the usual thing. You need to do the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking, then just do. Then combine with metta to make your mind calm, peaceful. Then after that, you return to your object of meditation and silence everything until you can allow the mind to be very quiet until you hit the stage of pasati or tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Then the mind will enter sati. So you do the same after that. It's the same as what I explained in the first part. For those who already know how to meditate. Then the other one is, if you already have some form of sati developed but not stable, then you straight away go into your object of meditation. You can skip your whatever mind sweeping method or those things, because by then you don't need them, because as you train, as you develop the ability to silence and stabilize, you should be able to be mindful with your object of meditation at any one time. So when you sit, go back to your object of meditation, you just allow it to be mindful of the object of meditation. When your mind is aware of the object of meditation, it cannot think. There is a deep. So continue to breathe in, breathe out naturally, or allow your whatever object of meditation to arise in a natural state. Then silence your mind and feel and be with it, flow with it. the awareness and the thing, let it become one. So it's just like doing your bowing or your walking or your activity in life, daily mindfulness, just that awareness, the mind and the phenomena move as one. So you just do like any activity. It can be bowing or what. So your mindfulness of the object of meditation is the same. You do until the sati come, stabilize. Your former mind will know. Yeah. All of a sudden your mind becomes required, very still. And you know there is no more movement. Yeah. And when you are doing the bowing, also same, body and mind as one, no thought. So you find that everything is a flow, so small. Like no movement, no resistance at all. The mind is just aware. So this is what sati is. This is what the meditation is. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. Then when the time is up, half an hour, I will ring the bell. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta. You continue. Yeah, I don't know. Go. Yeah, I chant differently. Yeah.
Chakvalisu atra gacchantu devata sadhammam munirajas sunantu saggamokkhadam dhamma savana kalo ayam badanta dhamma savana kalo ayam badanta dhamma savana kalo ayam badanta
namo Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati sat Tadeva manosana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akariko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sammicipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Adidang Chattari Purisaya Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkeneyo Saranyo Anuttarang Penyakitang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Betang Puja Yami. Damang Puja Yami. Sanghang Puja Yami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax. Body and mind, then maintain some of our attention. Or attentiveness. When you are attentive, you are without thought. Attention without thought is sati, is the mindfulness itself. When you are really attentive without thought. Okay, tonight, like I promised you, we go through the last Thursday class outline shall not. Yeah, it's very good. How many of you have not read it? Haven't read it? Okay, good. Then we go through. It's very good. That's why just the first time I think he suddenly replied, excellent, really excellent. Means he really read it. I sent it to the My Kayanamita website, under Thursday talk, 17 January 2009. So this is the last Thursday class outline, short notes. The first point is initial wisdom or yoniso manasikara must be developed to cope with sense experience and to develop meditation. So this part, I think by now, you all should be familiar. You know what is yoniso manasikara? Initial wisdom. When you have the stability of mindfulness, when you have reflected, contemplated, inquired, then when you have constantly listened to the Dhamma, you develop the faith, the straightening of the views, the first and second turning wisdom, then you develop this initial wisdom we call yoniso manasikara. So without this initial wisdom, you cannot cope with sense experience. And because of that, you cannot develop meditation. By now, you should know why. In the midst of life, daily life, your senses are all open, true or not? It is active, interacting. So without a stable mindfulness, you already cannot deal. But stable mindfulness alone is not enough. Without initial wisdom, your mind will react and stir. Now you understand why the initial wisdom is important. The initial wisdom will allow you to be at peace most of the time, so that the mental hindrance will not arise. Yeah, by then, your spiritual faculty is already stable. You have developed a lot of understanding, then you can straighten your views. You can develop the ability to accept things as they are. You can see things as they are. The world is the world. People is just the way they are. So you realize you got less and less of this wrong view, this duality. That's why your mind become more quiet, more peaceful. So this initial wisdom prevents sankhara from arising unnecessary. Sankhara is due to avijja, ignorance. So when you have less avijja, you will have less sankhara. So less sankhara means more movement of mindfulness, more clarity. That's why you can cope with your daily life. You can develop daily mindfulness easier. And because of that, you can meditate. That's why I put here as a first point. That was the briefing that I gave before I start the class. So first point is very important. Initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, must be developed to cope with sense experience and to develop meditation. Then the Avijja Sutta also highlighted various steps for cultivator to check their cultivation. Daily mindfulness and sati sampajana are vital steps. Yoniso manasikara comes from stability of daily mindfulness. With sati, thought will not be there because your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either it is aware or lost in thought. When you are lost in thought with negative emotion, you cannot have the clarity to understand what is going on within the moment. Thus, no wisdom. However, if you are aware and silent, there is clarity. This nature can meditate, understand, and develop the wisdom through seeing things as they are. So this is the most important understanding. If you don't get this understanding understood clearly, you are wasting your time. You don't know how to meditate. When you understand this, you will know how to develop them according to Avijja Sutta. So like I explained, most of you, Kaya Mitta, the first four steps you already have. You have good Dhamma friends. Then you have the condition to listen to the Dhamma. After you listen to the Dhamma, you develop the faith and you straighten your views. That's how you develop the initial wisdom after that. Then you determine to develop the daily mindfulness. Once the daily mindfulness comes, your sati sampajana can be there, means the clear comprehension part will come. Then after that, you will have the ability to develop sense restraint. Then when your sense restraint are developed, you have the ability to arise the three way of good conduct or right conduct. Then only you can proceed to the next step, which is cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. Because by then, you will have overcome, as per description by the Buddha in the Satipatthana Sutta, is it after overcoming covetousness and grief, means you have your three way of good conduct and sense restraint. That's why you can overcome covetousness and grief. Then you can cultivate the Satipatthana Sutta, the mindfulness of the four foundation. Okay, point number two. When you have the stability of daily mindfulness, you can reflect and contemplate into the Dhamma. The second turning wisdom is through inquiry into the essential Dhamma, especially the Four Noble Truths. When you're silent and aware, your mind is in the creative state, because without thought, it is in the creative state. And in this creative state, it can understand things. When you have stability of mindfulness, you do not need external environment to be peaceful. You just need a relatively quiet place where you are not disturbed. Then you can start your contemplation. This contemplation gives rise to the second turning wisdom, which then gives rise to the initial wisdom. Point number three. Why do you stir your mind? Why do our mind stir? It is due to our wrong views, the condition of a like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant reaction to sense experience. This creates mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will. The real wisdom comes from understanding. Why should we react? Thing is just the way it is. The world is the world. These are nature's reality. You have to understand this deeply. When you understand, you can laugh it off and smile because you understand and you are always at peace. Things happen in life because conditions are there to cause things to arise in such manner. You can act with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. With wise acceptance, you are calmer within. You seldom react or stir your mind anymore. So this is the result of the Yoniso Manasikara initial wisdom, the first and second turning wisdom. Point number four. After you have straightened your view, there is less avijja, leading to less sankara or thinking, and less stirring of the mind. Your mind is peaceful, has more clarity and calmer. Daily mindfulness becomes easier to cultivate. That's why you must have this ability to be mindful. And this one, you must stabilize it until you have the ability to see things as they are, to arise the initial wisdom. So after you have the initial wisdom, you straighten your view, your avijja is weakened. Then only your sankhara weaken. It's only when sankhara weaken, your mind has more clarity. It is calmer, more peaceful. Then daily mindfulness becomes easier. Otherwise, not easy. Then having Dhamma friend is vital for us to have the condition to listen to the true Dhamma. As you listen to the true Dhamma, you can contemplate and reflect on them to arise the second turning wisdom needed to straighten your view. You can also investigate the Dhamma, and when it stands up to investigation, it strengthens your faith in the Triple Gem. You will then go all out to cultivate daily mindfulness, leading to sense restraint. Wrong thought, wrong action, and wrong speech thus cannot arise. Then only can you cultivate the Satipatthana practices, the four foundations of mindfulness. Most of us lack the daily mindfulness. This is the part you have to work on. Yeah? And the initial wisdom. I think initial wisdom by now, most of you already have it to a certain extent. The only thing is, you cannot put it into real life practice. Because when your stability of this understanding or wisdom is not there, you cannot make it a living reality. It's still at the knowledge level, Dhamma knowledge. So you need to really, in the daily life, cultivate the daily mindfulness and really develop the ability to live it. So this part is very important. Most of us lack daily mindfulness and initial wisdom needed to be heedful in life. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse 21. So this one is very clear. So daily mindfulness is a must. Then after that, initial wisdom is relatively more easy. It is interrelated. When your daily mindfulness is very stable, your initial wisdom will come to perfection. Then point number 7. Bhatio encouraged Kanyamita to read the latest Sanskrit book, The Five Areas of Form and Mind, and Understanding the Heart and Mind, to be introduced soon. This latest Sanskrit book has been prepared with improved flow and language to enhance its readability. Yeah? Now waiting for Chui's final editing. Then after that, I think we can get it soft copy distributed. We will only do the reprint after the first printing finish. Yeah. But you can read through the soft copy. It's easier to comprehend. The flow of language is better. Then point number 8, you need to understand the five aggregates of form and mind, the two aspects, to understand the Buddha's teaching. This one I think by now very clear, because the five aggregates of form and mind is in the final summary of the First Noble Truth. If you don't know what it is, you cannot cultivate. Number 9 is very important. Mind is consciousness, the formless movement. And unlike physical form, it is less tangible. So without a stable mindfulness, you cannot see mind. Bratio has shared before how to see mind, the unreality of mind, and how to see beyond mind. So this one is in the five areas of form and mind, the book. If you have the stability of mindfulness, you can see the aggregates of mind, feeling, perception, mental activities, mental states, and consciousness very clearly. They arise and pass away very fast because they are dependent originating aggregate. Hence, they are impermanent, leading to suffering if we attach to them deludedly. This will enable us to see the unreality of mind. When one is able to see beyond form and mind, one has the direct seeing. One can then see truth within nature without being distracted by your mental conditioning and memory. So these are very important understanding. Then number 10, Joseph question. Brother Joseph inquire about his understanding of anatta as non-self and the impersonal process. Then he said we should not take our physical body personally as a self. Then he wants to know whether his understanding is correct or not. Then I answer him. I said, that's why she wrote here, Brother Teo explained that anatta has deep meaning. Non-self is just one small aspect of anatta. According to the Buddha, he said, all of sankhara are impermanent, sabbe sankhara anicchang. All of sankhara lead to suffering when there is no wisdom, sabbe sankhara dukkang. And all of dhamma are anatta, means sabbe dhamma anatta. In the last stanza, dhamma is used instead of sankhara because it is referring to both the conditioned and the unconditioned. Sankhara are mental states and activity of mind within the conditioned world. Thus, it only refer to conditioned dhamma, whereas dhamma can be conditioned and unconditioned. Then, the usual chanting that the Buddha asked the monk to chant, Rupang anicchang, Rupang anatta. You heard this very often, especially at the forest monastery of the Theravada tradition, right, in Thailand. Yeah. So this is very clear. Why did the Buddha say Rupang, which is form, is impermanent? Then form is anatta. So let's take example, any external form like this table or this whiteboard. So how can external form like the table or the whiteboard, etc., be non-self? Because the Buddha said anatta. Yeah. So this is very clear. Therefore, the real meaning of anatta is, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity that we can cling on to as the I and the me. The five aggregate of form and mind, both aspects are dependent, originating, impermanent, hence also anatta. So anatta's deep meaning is, the empty nature of existence. It is not a permanent, unchanging entity because we are in the conditioned world. Dependent on condition, things arise. Dependent on condition, things ceases to be. So all these are very, very clear. When you are mindful, you see them. Because your aggregate of mind, feeling, come and go, arise and pass away. Very clear. Perception, every moment, every instant, arise and pass away. You are still around, you didn't die. Then sankhara, mental thinking, mental activity, mental volition, mental states, mental emotion, and all this activity that you do, they arise and they pass away very fast, and yet you're still around, you didn't die. Then consciousness is the same, you can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think, they arise and they pass away. They are dependent, originating very fast. No reality at all. The coming and the going, when you are mindful, silent, aware, you see them so clearly. There's a truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? The characteristics of nature are everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Then point number 12. All of sankhara, which is your content of consciousness, including perception and feeling, are impermanent. This one is the elaboration again. They arise and pass away very fast. Mind make a day. The mundane mind is the heedless thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind, and the dependent originating mind. Thoughts are respond to memories. When the pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling ceases, did you die? Feeling come and go, but you did not die. Therefore, this feeling is not you, hence anatta, and is also not a permanent unchanging entity. Yeah. Anatta means this human being, the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, with the consciousness trapped inside is not you. Both the physical form and mind consciousness, the four aggregates of mind, are dependent, originating, impermanent. Therefore, it is not you. In short, it is due to your self-delusion which causes you to cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind, thinking it is you that is the cause of suffering. If the five aggregates are not you, then who are you? What are you? Point number 14. This five aggregate of form and mind is a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for you to come to this world, this conditioned world, to live life and experience the karmic friction or consequences. You should make use of this form and mind wisely and not be deluded by it, thinking it is you. The form and mind is a tool and vehicle for you to come to this world to experience life, thus live it well. Without the egoic mind, born of delusion, you would not cling or attach to the form and mind. Point number 15. Reflect on the chanting of the Sangha as taught by the Buddha. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta. So the meaning is form is impermanent. Form is not a permanent unchanging entity. We can develop great wisdom. That's why you know how to reflect, contemplate and listen attentively. I remember 30 over years ago when I went to Thailand early morning at my teacher's temple. 3:45, there were certain conditions. The Dhamma end came. Then we were told we had to wake up and get ready. So immediately I heard that chanting from afar, so clear. And my nature from deep inside rose straight away very strong. Tears came up because these were very clear Dhamma. The meaning is so beautiful. And we were in a forest monastery. So those are the things that you will develop when your cultivation transforms. Okay. 4. Both the bodily form and external form are impermanent. They arise through condition. When condition cease to be, form cease to be. To read the recently reprinted five aggregate of form and mind transcript book to develop the clear understanding. The external form is unreal. What more when what we see is merely an image pointing to the forehead. Thus, it is even more unreal. Anatta means not a permanent unchanging entity, hence no reality. You cannot hold or cling on to it. When you die, all of your loved ones and possession in the mundane world will separate from you. Your possession and wealth only ends up as inheritance. Hence the saying, empty you come means at birth, empty you go at death. There is no point grieving over emptiness in between. So the Mandarin version is more meaningful. It really allow the meaning to stand out. They like a poem, a rhythm. They always chant it. Lai ye kong, qi ye kong, namo si zu, he bi ku ku, wei kong liu lei. Means, when you come to this world, when you are born, you come empty-handed. When you go, when you separate, you die, you also go empty-handed. Then why do you, through delusion, suffer and become miserable in between over emptiness? You understand the foolishness of man, huh? Because the final result is also not real, empty. You come also empty, you go also empty. Your identity erased. And in between, you thought everything is so real. You grieve, you get very excited, then you get yourself into trouble. Then you create all the illusion and delusion. Then you suffer and become miserable over what? Sometimes you become violent. you go to the extent of killing people, cheating people, deceiving people, and do all the foolish thing, the heedless, deluded thing. So this is what life is all about. When you have the understanding, you will not be foolish anymore. Yeah. Okay, we move on. Eh? Anatta, point 16. Empty nature of existence. Rupang anatta, form is not a permanent and changing entity. Form and mind as a compounded entity is a condition. Arising entity means dependent on condition they arise, the three conditions. Anatta has the same meaning as sunyata, emptiness. Emptiness is not empty of everything, it means empty nature of existence. We cannot deny we were born as we have gone through this space of life. But is there any reality? We can only recall what happened through memories. What we experience is within the moment. But split second, it is dead and gone. The only reality in life is the present moment, the here and the now, just like what is explained in Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of the Now, Power of Now, regarding the importance of the present moment. Just like Buddha's teaching on awareness. Thus, the question we should ask is, moment to moment life passes by, what are you doing? What am I doing? The problem with human beings is, they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, so much so that they do not live as they do not have present moment awareness or mindfulness. Okay, I read this part again. The problem is human being. The problem with human being is that they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, so much so that they do not live as they do not have the present moment awareness or mindfulness to live and experience the moment. Split second, the thoughts via the thinking mind come and take over, making you lost in thought again. Then point 17. On the other hand, with awareness and mindfulness, you will come to understand that life has no reality. Even this, your own body, you do not own. What more, trying to own others? You say, my son, my wealth, my property, etc. This only the fool's lament. For that very body also doesn't belong to him. Thus, veren son and veren wealth. Point 18. The 5 degrees of form and mind is not you, but is related to you via your karmic nature. Thus, the Buddha asks us to develop the 5 daily contemplation. The first 3 is, this body of ours is of the nature to age, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Then the 4th one is, all that you think you own and cling onto daily, they will one day separate from you, or when your breath stops, you separate from them. Then the last contemplation is, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are, every moment, every instant, because of our karma. Point number 19. The 5 degrees of form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity, and they are dependent originating, they go the way of nature. Hence, suffering will arise when you want things your way, which is against nature's way. Via meditation, you can ask yourself, who am I and what am I? What is this awareness which is aware of the form and mind? Is this awareness part of form and mind? Have you all asked this question? Yeah? Who are you? What are you? Yeah? Then what is this awareness that can be aware of the form and mind? Is this awareness part of the form and mind? Yeah? Have you all thought about it? Contemplate into it? Yeah? Nobody want to answer. Huh? Either you cannot understand or you dare not answer. Yeah. So which is the one? Hey, don't smile. You should try, huh? The answer actually is behind. Anyway, I read through first. Then after, if you want to ask, you can ask. Then we can discuss the topic. Point 21. The analogy of the driver and the car is a good analogy to understand your form and mind. The driver is synonymous to the mind, and the car to the form or vehicle that takes you around. And they work together to function as a compounded entity. But both are not you. Yeah? Very clear that the driver and the car, both are not you there. Yeah? So the driver is like your mind that drives this body. Yeah? So the car is like this physical body. Yeah? Then there is a third entity. You are the big boss who own the car and the driver. That one you don't know. Because that one seldom appear on. The boss is synonymous to your nature, which is connected to the form and mind. This nature is never born, therefore it never dies. But the boss can die. Because it is an eternal nature. Just like the boss who owns the car and the driver, he, your nature, seldom shows himself. You have two natures, namely your true nature and your karmic nature. This true nature is your awareness, your true mind. This karmic nature is the nature that records all your karmic activity and your good and bad merits. This merit is similar to your spiritual well money that decide which model of car and what type of driver you can get or you can have when you are reborn. Understand? Yeah? When you don't accumulate enough good merit, it's like in this society, yeah? You don't have enough saving. So when your car become old junk, beyond economical repair, what happened? They say condemned. Yeah? Condemned means what? Cannot use. Gone. But this body of yours, you cannot say condemned. No? The moment condemned, you got no life. No? Then you got to wait for the spiritual wealth to condition the next rebirth. Understand? No? So that next rebirth, what type of car? Whether it's a Volkswagen, or the other one, W-A-L-K one. W-A-L-K-S. Volkswagen. You walk around one. So you don't have a car. Huh? Even old junk also don't have. Yeah, you didn't cultivate spiritual wealth. But if you have developed it, like the great beings, the Bodhisattva or the Buddha, they come with beautiful body and mind. Means beautiful car, beautiful driver. Why? Because they have perfected their spiritual wealth. Their karmic nature is so powerful, so strong. Their spiritual nature is so strong, so powerful. So at any one time they come, they have beautiful physical body and mind. Yeah. And these two will inherit all their perfection, their cultivation. That's why when you have this ability, you don't worry. Dying is beautiful. Yeah? Dying is the renewal of the beautiful form in mind. The only trouble is when you come, if you don't have the wisdom and the understanding to connect early, you will suffer. Understand? Before you connect, you are just like a normal human being. The only difference is your karmic nature protect you, but your spiritual nature you cannot inherit until you connect. Yeah. And unless you know how to connect early, you have to go through life. So the initial years may not be easy. You look at Eckhart, he also went through depression, he almost committed suicide, suicidal thought, everything. But luckily, after that he turn around and he connect. So a lot of cultivator, before you connect, you don't know what your nature is, you don't know who you are, you don't know what you are. But the moment you connect, you will recall, you will have the understanding, and you become beautiful. So cultivation, in a way, is very, very beautiful, very wonderful, very unique. Then one of my teachers say it's very rewarding, the Bodhisattva way, although long, tedious, need a lot of patience, endurance and all those things. but it's rewarding. So, you believe or not? You don't believe, you go and try. Initially, before you can have the understanding, oh, I need to get back that patience. I stopped for too long. Just now we were at which number? 21. Okay, thank you. Okay. 21. Oh, quite fast, huh? 21 means we are finishing. Oh, yeah. Analogy of the driver and the car, huh? So this part I have explained, huh? You are the big boss. The big boss is synonymous to your nature. Then you got two types of nature, huh? Karmic and spiritual. So this true mind is your awareness, your true nature. Then the karmic nature is the nature that records all your karmic activity and your good and bad merits. This merit is similar to your spiritual wealth or money that decide which model of car and what type of driver you can have when you are reborn. Then point number 22. The true understanding comes through meditation. Always remember. Huh? When you are able to see for yourself that this form and mind is not you, that is the beginning of wisdom. The few essential Dhamma I used to teach you are always the same, but I always approach it from different direction depending on the condition that arise, so that you all can understand its deep meaning. Then point number 23, everything is anatta, including our natures, which cannot come out and live life. Do you know, although you have a very powerful spiritual nature, the karmic nature, but it's a nature, understand? It's not a human being. It's not an entity that can come out, understand? Cannot. That's why you cannot use that to come to this existential world to live life. Oh, you can, beautiful. Huh? Because that one never die, eternal life. But it cannot exist. Because that one, no thought, nothing. So you cannot, you need a form of mind. That's why you need this form of mind, which is required by the conditioned world. Otherwise, you cannot come to this conditioned world. This is the vehicle and tool that you need. That's why it's connected to your karmic nature, even though not you, but it has its relation. So this part is very important. That is the reason why this nature, both the karmic nature and the true nature, they are also anatta. But the true nature is capable of awakening insight and the direct seeing. Then there is a gateway within your form and mind that links you to your true nature. The coming transcript book on the with the title Understanding the Heart and the Mind talks about this gateway and the true mind and the true nature. There are two aspects to explain the five aggregates of form and mind. First aspect is as a human being. As a human being, we have a physical body and a mind consciousness trapped inside the body. Mind has four aggregates. To understand them, inquire, what can your mind do? Your mind can feel, perceive, arise sankhara and consciousness. All that your mind can do, including all your scheming, planning, cunningness, emotion, various mind states, etc., are part of sankhara. Then the second aspect is as a five mental aggregates of form and mind that arise with every moment of sense experience and sense door consciousness. Yeah. So the second aspect is the mental one. Yeah. That one is the one the Buddha relate to under Paticchasamuppada, the 12 link. Number 25. The Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see, because the content of consciousness has not gone in as yet. Thus, no delusion or wrong view. This is the pure awareness or vijnana as mentioned in the Buddha's 12-link teaching of avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankara pachaya vinyanang. This vinyanang is the pure consciousness. Then vinyanang pachaya namarupang. This namarupang is the second aspect of the five mental aggregates of form and mind. The second aspect, namarupang, it arises when the content of consciousness enters the pure consciousness. This external form makes up, perception then brings in the external form. This external form makes up the fifth or the last aggregate of mind. Due to ignorance, you create mental thinking. Thinking is a mind process, and your mind, which is the brain, is an organ. So the moment you think, you make contact with the mind or brain, then mental consciousness come to be. This is the pure consciousness, vinyanang, without the content. When you input the content, the vinyanang become namarupang. You know how you input your content, eh? Because your views, your opinion, your conditioning, all this will condition you to react and introduce the content that is acting according to memory. But when you have wisdom developed, when you are mindful, aware, heedful, you don't act according to memory. That's why you become different. So the content you input is from wisdom. Your nature's wisdom, the Dhamma wisdom. You act according to understanding, which is wisdom. And the understanding follow Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah, this is the path that will lead to the end of all suffering, as explained by the Buddha. Okay, point 26. You attach to this five aggregate of form and mind, the Buddha said, you suffer. So we investigate. If we attach to this body, worrying about it getting sick, getting old and die, do we suffer? Yes, we suffer. We should use this form and mind with wisdom without being attached to them deludedly. This is how we free our mind. If we attach to feeling, we suffer. We should understand when unpleasant feeling arise. We have two choices. React and be miserable, or wise acceptance and be at peace. With this understanding, your mind does not stir. So this is how you develop the initial wisdom. Huh? Number 27, point 27. Meditation is not merely sitting. It involves training mind to be aware, to realize the silent mind, the meditative mind, to be with the moment in silent awareness while living in the midst of life in all posture. Not to use the thought to meditate, to focus, to concentrate, but instead to develop mindfulness and awareness leading to heedfulness. The Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedless are as if dead. So this is Dhammapada verse 21. Yeah? Point number 28, the last one. Bhatia shared that it is through daily mindfulness that his nature understands and sees all this. You remember I told you during the early day I was doing Anapanasati. Then my mindfulness of in and out breath become very strong. I went into absorption and developed all those calmness, stillness, peacefulness. But it's a conditioned state. But you are like enlightened now, that time. Oh, that time the heart here, I remember. At the heart here, the energy was so still and so strong. It like there's a call, C-O-R-E, a call of very still energy, very still. That time, lightning strike also. Not only it cannot affect, it's like the re-vibration. Can't even touch the peripheral. No? It's so still. It's like no effect at all. Oh. Then that time, I remember my mind. You will think that this is real enlightenment. Because during that time, nothing can affect you. Even people pour hot water or what they do to you. It's so still. It's like, But that is a conditioned state. That is not the real one. That's why later on, after I graduate, the first thing that make me aware that this is not the real one is, after you graduate, what you do? Yeah. What do you do? You look for? Huh? You look for money, right? That's why you apply for jobs, right? You go for interview. Then I realize, I still got craving, you know? I still want to have better career, better salary, better job. Then at that time, funny, you know? You want to become lawyer also. You want to study MBA, all those things. Then I saw, what is going on? I thought no more movement. So still when I was in the uni, then come on, this one, stir again. Then I realized because I didn't go into that type of absorption meditation and concentration meditation. Then I knew straight away this is not right. Then straight away in the nature, prop up this, the Buddha's analogy. You know what was the analogy? The glass of water. When you don't stir, what happened? The sediment settled down. Then that water like clear. Because no condition to allow it to arise. You know why no condition? Because the stillness energy is so strong. Because I was in continuous mindfulness, absorption. It's just like those in jhana, one-pointedness. Everything kill at one point, still cannot move. No point. Because that one, all the five mental hindrances suppressed. And I said, cannot even move. Not to say arise. That is like you are enlightened, I tell you. But when you don't meditate so often, when you don't go into the absorption, concentration, one-pointedness and jhana so often, you know what happened? The mundane mind start to come out. Then the five mental hindrances start to come out. Then when there is condition, you realize, can still have craving, can still get angry, unhappy, emotional, then at times fear and all those things. Then I knew straight away this is not the right way. Then during that time, very strange, I somehow met Master Xuan Hua when I was in the uni, second year. Then, when I graduate, I met him again. Where he visited Malaysia. Then the third time is when, after I graduated many years, 1986, he came again. At that time, I worked for 6-7 years already, got some money. Already. After the second time, when I understood what I missed, I make this aspiration. If I were to meet him again, the first two times, the condition to do merit, so to say, I don't have money as a student, I will make sure I one-shot cover for them. And when I heard about him coming in 1986, there was so much joy. You know how did it happen or not? I didn't know. I was in University of Malaya. Then my office, I got a lot of staff. And there is this Christian lady, Doreen. I didn't know she was observing me. Every time, lunchtime, lunch break, I will lock my door and I meditate inside. Especially Friday, long hour. Then exactly 2:45, I will open up the room. Then one day, she came in immediately after I opened my door and on the light. He said, Mr. Teo, he don't call me Brother Teo, I'm the boss. I'm the head of the whole property and development estate division. He said, Mr. Teo, I got something interesting for you. I think you will love it. I thought she Christian. That's why the mind very fast of pre-perceiver. I thought it must be donation, Christian. No problem, I said, bring. Then he passed me the brochure. I open it up. Master Xuan Hua visit to Malaysia. I said, where do you get this? He said, my brother-in-law is a Buddhist. I said, I thought you Christian. He said, yeah, but my brother-in-law is a Buddhist and he gave it to me and I saw you meditate, he said. Oh, and you wear the yellow string. That's why I say, it will interest you. Oh, I say, thank you so much. I say, give me a few more. So I asked for 3 or 4 the donation form. Then I came back. You asked my wife. I told my wife. I say, we are going to buy all this requisite and offer. And you know what happened or not? When my wife came to know, one of his colleagues, the brother, became a monk under Xuan Hua. No? Oh. Then he also in the delegation. No? That's why we contacted the sister. Then first time I go to bank, buy bank draft, US $500. No? Oh, I just donate like that. Oh. Then the requisite, oh, I wait for him to come. Then personally we offer, of course, with the ang pao, everything. But that was the time I did with a lot of joy because I never have a chance. Then after that, my brother, the electrical engineer, I think Mifo know him. Well, he recommended a job for my brother when he came back from Canada. He's electronic engineer. He was given a promotion and he got a training in this United States, no? Silicon Valley. You call it Seattle, around there. And Xuan Hua's city of 10,000 Buddha is near there. No? So I say, will you have time to travel a bit? He said, sure, no problem. I said, you go there. All the English translation, Dhamma book, whatever you can find, you just buy and ship it back. That's how I got all the translation. Surangama Sutta. Because very funny, you know, when I was in MU, there was one salesman who wanted to meet me. You know. But my secretary know, I don't like this salesman coming to see me. Then this salesman turned out to be a very unique one, very patient guy. You know. He came and see my secretary 5 times, you know, 5 or 6 times. You know. Then one day my secretary told me, he said, Mr. Teo, I think this one is different. You must meet him. I said, who is he? He said, looks like a salesman. Why want to see him? He said, he's very patient. He came 5 times. I told him you're not around. And he want to make appointment. I said, see how. And today he's still here. Oh, I said, like that. Okay. Normally 8:30 to 9, I finish off with my people. Then I will be free. I said, 9 o'clock, send him in. The moment he came in, I saw him, botak, but got hair grow up already. I think less than 1/2 inch. Maybe somebody ordained before, or shaved before. Then he straightway saw my yellow string in the hand. He said, are you a Buddhist? I said, I started as a Buddhist. Okay, I give you a book. So you know what I had in mind, no? I thought all those Dhamma book, which I don't want to read on. You know what happened? After that, I say, what do you have? I heard my secretary say, you got something new to introduce to me. Then he said, I'm helping my father to introduce this tennis court surface. During the early 80s, though, tennis court surface. Nobody used that before in Malaysia. Then I saw the brochure. I find it very good. Then they want to introduce this at a special promotion price discount. So we all university a lot of tennis court. So I say, okay, provider is good and the price is affordable, we will use. So the first two I tested, the whole university like it. My vice chancellor, professor, all, wow, they saw, they were so happy, so impressed. So that's why we managed to help him to do this. Then the next day, he brought the book. You know what book was it? I got a shock of my life. Surangama Sutta, English translation, part 1. That time only got one book, part 1. Where he, according to him, then I said, how come you got this book? Who are you? I said, he said, for your information, I'm the Kapya to Master Xuan Hua. Got such stigma. Oh. He was a lay kapya. Then the father, he is the only son. The father said, you must come back. That's why he has to come back. Yeah. And because he was the kapya, and I also feel funny, you know, how come he know I need English translation. And he brought the book. I said, is there any other book after this? He said, not yet. So far, the translation only. And that was a photostat one. The moment I open up that book, I tell you, you won't believe. The book looked so familiar. Like all the teaching, I have read them before. I straight away knew what the teaching was. I said, how come got such teaching on? That's why I asked my brother, go and buy whatever you have, go and buy. So during that time, it was meant to be. That's why I say, the book come, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come. I didn't do anything. It just fall into place. Then every day, every night, when he do the afternoon and night, when he give the Dhamma session, I record them. Then I listen to them non-stop. That was how I developed the hearing and the contemplation wisdom. Then after that, I determined to cultivate. Because that was the year, 1986, my whole family take refuge with him. Then Kuan Yin's message came. Told me, you have to move fast, not much time left. That's why everything happened in the 3 years. So a lot of things, unless you know what your nature is, who you are, what you are, you will never know what will happen to you. But for me, when I was young, I can see all the signs. And deep inside telling me a lot of things is because of past condition, past cultivation. So all this are possible when you understand the cultivation, when you have the understanding. So these are the most beautiful moments. Then like I shared with you all earlier on, initially I did the Anapanasati. Then I met Master Xuanhua. I was introduced to the Mahayana teaching. Then all the English translation come out, I read, I understand. No. Nobody teach you. The Heart Sutta came also, I understand. Then the whatever, Surangama Sutra, all the other Sutra. Then after that, I met Achanyantra. Achanyantra came 1 or 2 years later, I think. Then it was from him. And I should thank Ramananda and Sister Sumitra for that, where they introduced Achanyantra to me. And he was such a different monk. I can feel his energy. I can feel his metta. His mindfulness and everything. Then the Dhamma talk that he delivered was so clear to me. And they were not standard Dhamma words. They were all his own words that arise through his own contemplation. He got a book, a poem that he wrote in the forest when he was alone, Out of the Free Mind. Oh, I love that book. Everything that he wrote was so beautiful because it's all Dhamma inside there. And I can understand them. That's why I have a lot of faith at that time. Then I keep on listening. I was at the Brickfield Library doing the recording, helping out in the tape library. So all this duty I did. Then when I record them, I listen to them. And it was so beautiful. And it was from him that I heard one day the highest meditation. So I thought some magical meditation. So listen attentively. He said, we choose aware every moment, every instant in the present moment. Just like that, one sentence. This is the highest meditation, the real meditation. Then I check. I have yet to do this meditation. But when I check, I feel that I hardly aware for even 5 minutes a day. In a split second, the mindfulness is gone. Split second, the mindfulness, unless I go into anapanasati. Unless I hold my mind through that continuous mindfulness. Then I realize I have not done the real meditation. Then towards the end of that day, we were at the, I think it was a precept, I don't know what. He asked, who want to promise? He didn't say promise the Buddha. He said, who want to promise? Then we asked him, promise what? Promise to develop the daily mindfulness. Until it becomes very stable. straight away without hesitation, I put out my hand. And I saw another guy also put up. Then you know what he said, right? You promised the Buddha, you didn't promise me. Oh, that message was so clear, no? Promise the Buddha, you dare to break your promise, huh? You promised the Buddha, no? Actually, without that promise also, I will do, because I already determined I have the faith. So immediately after that, within 2 weeks, no? The daily mindfulness came. And it is through this daily mindfulness that all the understanding surfaced. That's the reason why when I came out to share, I keep on reminding you all, daily mindfulness, nothing else. Yeah. That's why the Buddha also mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta. You know the opening statement or not? Four foundation of mindfulness. Yeah? Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. O bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the realization of enlightenment, nibbana, for reaching the right path, namely the four foundation of mindfulness. Then I realized, this is it, because it matched. If the four foundation of mindfulness is the only way, then under Kaya Nupasana, I saw the daily mindfulness of Sati Sampajana. At first, I cannot understand, no, why stand also aware, walk also aware, sit, answer nature's call also aware, for what? Then when he said this, I suddenly realized, that's it. That's the only way. Then I have a lot of faith, because he confirmed that he also did it that way, daily mindfulness. But he modified, you know, to make it very simple. He said, we choose have awareness, aware. Every action, every movement, no, in the present moment. No. And that covers the whole of the Satisampajana. No. Oh. Straight away, from there on, I realized that everything I do, I need awareness. So I determined to be aware. Within 2 weeks, the thing came. So this is how your past will create the condition for you to meet up with people, with teacher, with guide. Because this is the way my nature teach and give. The fruition of it is when I come, my nature come, it will receive. The same way. The same way my nature give, the same way my nature receive. That's why very fast. Technically, my nature don't need any teacher. It will just understand truth. It will just know what this thing is. That's why you must have faith in the teaching, in this special way, the Bodhisattva way. It's very powerful. You need to have aspiration, vows. You need to develop this perfection until it becomes very stable. Yeah. Then the faith is very important. The faith. The spiritual faculty, Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. Yeah. Then the cultivation will just flow. So all these essential Dhamma, you will understand them very deeply. So this is what the Dhamma is all about. Not what you heard or read before. Those that you are exposed to during the early day. They are hardly the correct one. Because most of that are theoretical Dhamma, knowledge Dhamma, not the real one. Not the one that can really awaken your nature. Because they don't even have clear understanding of what Sati is, what that nature is, what that true mind is, what the form and mind is. All these are not there. So it's near to impossible. And the only instrument they use is thought. That's why I find it very difficult for them. And they are so conditioned. Their mind are so conditioned. If you are so conditioned, you become rigid. It's like your cup is full. You cannot allow anything to go in. Because it will straight away respond from your knowledge, from your conditioning. Then whatever you are not familiar, you don't want to have anything to do with it. Or you say it's not correct. Then you some more look at the external form. He said, who is relative? He's not even a monk. That is the problem. Then he don't even have any title. So another problem. So what happened to the world is, if you look at the world, that's why I like the way Krishnamurti share, Jai Krishnamurti. I check with you whether you agree or not. You know what he said? Human beings' problem is they are so scared. They are so full of fear. Fear of what? Fear of the unknown. True or not? You want to be with familiar ground there. Correct or not? Not familiar one, you don't want to try, don't want to take risks there. Then how can you learn? He asked one very simple question. If you don't go into the unknown, if you don't inquire, you cannot learn. Understand or not? That is the problem with knowledge. That's why Krishnamurti said, the moment you say you know, you are gone. You cannot learn. Your cup is full. And he said, you are the most dangerous person in this world. Actually, it matched with the Buddha's saying, Salika Sutta. Salika Sutta is a very good sutta. No? There are 45 types of mind state that are defiling. And of the 45, the Buddha can save the 44. The last one, Sammasambuddha also cannot save you. You know what is there or not? He who hold on to his view rigidly, that one the Buddha also call him deep. Because you hold on to your view so rigidly, how to teach you? And that is the same as what Krishnamurti say, I know. So what happened is, Krishnamurti explained this very nicely. Maybe I write it on the whiteboard. He said, after you meditate, finally you come to know, who are you? Finally after you meditate, who are you? Yeah, because of that, you are what? You are nothing, understand? You are not a thing. He said, I don't care how you try to hide your identity, camouflage all your identity, because you refuse to accept you are nothing. You understand? In actual fact, you are nothing. Who are you? The name that people give you, your career, your occupation, your whatever title, you cling onto it to avoid this fact. Understand? That's why you want to hide under the familiar ground, the known. You don't want to feel insecure, everything. The moment you deny this, which is a reality, you stop learning. You understand? You stop learning. You stop inquiring. You stop developing wisdom. Because you will never go and find out who you are. You will never come to the investigation that you are nothing. The Buddha already told you, the five aggregate of form and mind is impermanent. Anatta. Not a permanent, unchanging entity. Therefore, it is non-self, empty. That's why you are nothing. How you come? Through karmic conditioning, the form and mind is not you. Then what are you? Who are you? What is that nature? That nature is emptiness, understand? Nothing. Because it's the unconditioned. How can the unconditioned have something? You understand? So when you understand this, you realize you've got no more problem. No more delusion, no more suffering. That's how fear of the unknown will prevent you from investigating, prevent you from developing the understanding. the wisdom. Then he say human being always come out with all the various escape. You know what is escape? Escape from this reality. Like now our XPM, what is he doing? There are some people ask me, I think Chin Hao just now having dinner, he asked me, but you, he like nothing happened to him. No, he's happening here, happening there. You know what is happening to him? Deep inside is deep fear, understand? No? Insecurity, and he has a lot of problem that he cannot actually confront or face. So what he do? He escape through what? Twitter, Facebook, understand? No? Then get people to come and listen to him. Then make the funniest statement and all those things. Otherwise, he would die, understand? This is what escape is. So it's just like when you have problem, what do you do? Most people don't want to face the problem and resolve it, understand not? So what is the escape? Ku jiu man bei, go and drink. Then go and create their own suffering and misery. Then refuse to talk to people, lock themselves up, become miserable. These are the escape, understand? No? Then sometimes the escape is very nice prison, no? Or go spiritual, go meditation, then go what? Yoga, then Wai Tang Kong, Qi Kong, what is it?
No Qi
Kong. So these are the escape, understand? No? Means you try to divert away from the fact because you dare not face the reality, the fact. You don't have the wisdom to face the reality, the fact. You don't know how to resolve it. So you escape. That's why some go and take drugs. You realize that? Then get involved with IS, ideology and all those things. Then got involved with undergrounding, understand? No? Because this is the thing that keep them going, understand? The various type of escape. And that is what the deluded mind is, the heedless deluded mind do. Whereas if you have clarity, understanding, wisdom, heedfulness, you become different. You see it very clearly. Then you realize there is no problem, understand? He know you, he know me. Form and mind is form and mind, understand? Dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That AMB say, no reality. Then why do you worry about getting old, getting sick and die? Then why do you cling and hold on to all this which you cannot own and cannot possess? You understand? Can follow now? Huh? So all this, you should reflect, contemplate, and investigate. Why did J. Krishnamurti say, I am nothing? Nothing is like emptiness, no? Not empty or everything, no? Not nothing, no? Empty is empty nature existence. You are nothing because you are not tangible, understand? You are not a permanent unchanging entity where you can hold on to and grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I. And this one, you have control. There is no such thing within the conditioned world, the Buddha said. Then even within the unconditioned, it's also anatta. But this one is not a permanent unchanging entity that can come out and let you live life, anasana. So the nature also anatta in a sense. That it's not a being, it's not an entity that you can own and possess and have. So this understanding will develop the will develop the ability of your mind to liberate above all this delusion. Then the whole of the conditioned world, the world of form, the world of mind, the world of consciousness, they will be very clear to you. And they will have no more condition to delude you and deceive you. Then they like all of a sudden, the whole creation collapses in front of you because you know they are not real. Why? mind make adi, and what is mind? Consciousness, images. Yeah. That's why in the Surangama Sutta is very good description. Yeah. So in the book also I talk about it, the heart and the mind. Yeah? The book hasn't come out yet. Because I'm still doing the editing after Chewy's comment. Better to smoothen the English, basic English, which is very good. I think she gave good advice. So that part in the Surangama Sutta, the four stanza, each year you wei fa, remember? Zu mong huan tao ying, zu lu yi lu tian, ying zuo ru si guan. Jing gang jie. Oh, Diamond Sutta, sorry. Thank you for correcting. Yeah. I said Surangama wrong. Diamond Sutta. Yeah. So this Diamond Sutta is very powerful. That's why I say the whole creation collapses in front of you because they are mind-made. The phenomenal world of consciousness, mind-made are they. So, Zhu Bong Huan Tao Ying is, they are not real. They are dreamlike, yeah? Like a bubble. Illusion, then bubble, then like a shadow. So all this are good description of what the world of consciousness is all about, what the phenomenal world is about. Mind make adi, and mind, like the Buddha said, is impermanent because they are dependent originating condition arising. This is referring to the mundane mind that create. So consciousness is the greatest magician or illusionist, the analogy that the Buddha gave. So when you understand that, you understand very clearly the unreality of form, the unreality of mind, the unreality of the phenomenal world, the conditioned world. That everything you come to perceive, they are not real. Mind make adi, always remember. That's why the Buddha say, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. If you can penetrate that, you will awaken. Yeah. That is the most important. And that one is not difficult. Not difficult. The Mandarin expression is very good, huh? 一切一切唯心造. Everything is created by the mind. 心造成的. So this very, very important understanding is very penetrative. Always remember, mind make adi. That's why when I saw the first two Dhammapada verses, mind is the forerunner of all things. Wow, straight away from inside. So beautiful. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. Mind make adi. So this is the big picture, understand? So straight away you understand this, you understand creation. When you understand creation, you understand its unreality. Because the Buddha taught dependent origination, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. Nothing arises by itself. Without condition, nothing arises. How did thought arise? Ignorant, avijja paccaya sankhara. That's why sankhara is the main mundane mind that create, that condition everything to arise. And when condition cease to be, everything cease to be. And the most powerful law that lead this sankhara is law of karma. That's why you have to understand all this law. Then the next is the law of mind, citta niyama. Then law of truth. When you understand all this, they are all interrelated, connected. And your wisdom become very different. It is very deep, very profound, and very penetrative. That's why this style of teaching has been lost for a very long time. Very seldom you come across it. Very few people can explain it, because it's not easy. Even this understanding in 1989, when my nature developed the understanding, connect. You know what happened? Exactly like Sakyamuni. I say how to teach. You understand? Because it's so different from what people understand. The popularly accepted one. It's just like the Buddha say, how to teach people? It's like almost 100% the opposite of what the world thinks or believe in. Truth is always the opposite of the conventional reality. So during that time, I just let things be. That's why for 15 years I didn't do anything. 89 to 2004. Then 2004 Yun Chan came. You all should thank her until today. So how can it be 15 years didn't do anything? But I was not like Huineng with the hunter. That one more dangerous. But I was in the midst of society with living beings. And that time, nobody really understand or know. Occasionally, one or two person drop by, talk a little bit, then disappear. But they cannot understand too. They have condition, but they cannot understand. It's just like the merchant that met the Buddha. After his enlightenment, he walked towards the five ascetics. This merchant saw him so serene, so calm, so full of radiant joy. Stopped by and talked to the Buddha. And he's the Samasa Buddha. He doesn't know. He said, may I know who your teacher is? When he answered, I got no teacher, he thought this one a lot of ego. He straight away smiled and walked away. What a waste. Make aspiration to meet Samasa Buddha. See, talk, walk away. Cannot recognize. So sometimes life is just like that. Because like I like Joseph Goldstein, the Jack Canfield that grew. In one of the book, people ask him, how do you recognize an enlightened being? You inquire before. How do you recognize an enlightened being? You know how he answered? I love his answer. He said, enlightened being don't have a chop here and tell you he's enlightened. You have to develop the understanding to feel them and to understand them. You say, well, these are not people who will show you the sign. No. You have to feel them. And Xuan Hua also answered it very well. He said, you check whether he still got greed or not. He still got anger or not. He still got fear or not. He still got emotion or not. He still have the ego or not. These are the check. Very easy. So the absence of evil is? That's why they are ordinary people. They are not special people. They also have the same fragile form and mind like you. That's why I say this one need what? This one need what? No, apart from nutrition. You always ask for Kuan Yin's? Blessing, protection, and guideline. Guidance. This one need protection, understand? Your nature don't need protection. But this one is very fragile. This one, the three conditions that sustain it, can go anytime on, I tell you. Especially the physical part, understand? That one, very fast, gone. So this is something for you to take home tonight. Tonight one is again different. I don't know why all this nonsense got on. This one is not meant to be the sharing one. But it just came out because condition is how she has to come out. Because the transcript, the outline short note was very beautiful. Then the condition come from Joseph, you should thank him. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because he suddenly rejoiced. He put that excellent outline, short note, notes. Then I knew already he must have read. Otherwise, you don't have the ability to express it that way. Then it created the condition for me to share because this is a very important topic where it involves the understanding of anatta, then the five aggregate of form and mind, then connecting to all the higher teaching, the gateway to your nature, the two aspects of your mind, the two aspects of the five years of form and mind. These are not in the basic essential Dhamma, essential teaching. You need to have the understanding to expound it, to expand into it. So all this is something that you can never find in ordinary Buddhist teaching, especially about that nature. Seldom people teach or talk about it. Okay, we better end. I heard the alarm, 10:30. Oh yeah, so today, good timing. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit, then you make your aspiration. Akasata ca pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana etta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.